you want to be.
Having a great time.
You want to be.
Loving the fun.
You want to see all of the excitement. This is the place and we're the one. You want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see. Come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Now Gleyber Torres, a right-handed batter, digs in against Ursay. In comes the pitch. First pitch fastball, ground ball whip. He's going to go to first. Out at first. Game over. Royals win it and get the series even.
I'll take that final call over Bob Costas' final call. Six times a day, twice on Sunday, 8 days a week. Whatever the hell that means.
8 days a week. A great song by the Rolling Stones. That's back right. In the day, man, when they came over from Australia and invaded the United States. Good day, mate, is what Mick Jagger said as he came to America.
That's right. How about that, though? How about that final out call by Denny?
Climbing the ladder, Denny.
That's right. I mean, it just, you know, when you just hear that.
And now Gleyber Torres, a right-handed batter, digs in against Ursay. In comes the pitch. First pitch fastball, ground ball whip. He's going to go to first. Out at first. Game over. Royals win it and get the series even.
There's a little more pop in that voice from Denny Matthews.
A little bit more, man, with the playoffs. I do love it, as we talked about last week. People are discovering Denny again after a 10-year hiatus the playoffs. The people are saying things like, this guy's 100 years old, and he's calling the games by himself, and I'm here for it, and I love it, and I think everybody is, man. It's nostalgia at its finest, and he sounded excited, unlike Bob Costas, who sounded like somebody just beat up his dog when Stanton grounded into a double play towards the end of the ball game last night. My goodness, Bob.
Denny Matthews has arrived. Bob Costas gone. Start bench cut. Ready to do these? Little Tuesday action. Little thing we do here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. We get to start bench cut here, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow Service, Texas.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
All right. Lead the way, Dr. Mackenstein.
Let's do it. All right, first up, start bench cut. Tommy Pham, Garrett Hampson, or Gurriel?
All right, I'm going to start Hampson.
Who was that last one?
Who was the last one?
Struggling.
What about Sky Moore? Do you think he's going to play tomorrow? I'm going to go starting.
I got a text, man.
Yeah. Do you think Sky Moore? Nobody is talking about Sky
Moore.
Oh,
right. Only the two texts we got. You're right.
Yeah. We got texts.
And my text thread.
Okay.
And Reddit.
Yeah. Oh, Reddit's talking about it. So I'm going to start Garrett Hampson. He's 3-for-3, three singles, three RBIs. I kind of like the way he's playing. I'm going to bench Gurriel, and I am going to cut Tommy Pham, as hard as it is to do that.
With that ribby last night?
Yeah, those are your three guys that are kind of carrying this lineup right now, right? The randos, I like to call them.
The unsung heroes. I am definitely starting Garrett Hampson. Right, he was better than Garrett Cole, and he was better than Aaron Judge last night.
Well, a baby's better than Aaron Judge in the playoffs.
You know, I've seen worse judges, Bob.
Judy, Wapner.
Isn't Steve Harvey kind of a judge now?
Is he? I love him, though.
He is great.
He's so good. He's just so fun. He makes me laugh every time I see him and smile.
I would start Garrett Hampson. I would bench Tommy Pham, and I would cut Gurriel. The reason why I would cut Gurriel is because then you could DH Vinny. You could give Sal a day with Freddie, and then you could put Sal at first, and Gurriel kind of interrupts that process. But again, Gurriel's been great. Veteran leadership. This is a tough one. Start bench cut. I start Garrett Hampson, like everybody in the city of Kansas City. I bench Tommy Pham, and I cut Gurriel.
Gurriel had like 85 runs so far in the postseason.
He did walk twice and scored quite a bit.
That's a veteran at bat, man.
I love it.
Guy is really good.
This wasn't easy.
No, I know. No, I'm just saying, like, I can't believe how good Gurriel has been, you know, in the 6 days that we've had him here.
Yeah, as far as like impressive meter, he may be my start, but I'm going to go with Hampson. And then I think it's the same as you, Bob, bench Gurriel, and then go with Pham cutting.
Yeah.
Which is still, Tommy Pham.
Tough. Made some nice plays last night as well.
Right.
Certain guys, and I think what it is ultimately now that I kind of process it through my mind a little bit more, when you wear your pants up and show the sock, you look like a beast at the plate. Seriously, like Tommy Pham, Stanton, Judge, like you just look menacing. When you're up there and those socks are pulled up, I'm like, oh, I fear that guy. Except for Judge. My daughters could hit better in the postseason than Aaron Judge.
Bob's daughter is 4-for-7 in the games facing the Yankees when they start the game after 5:30. Denny Matthews, the parking spot. We have you covered. Back to the start bench cut from Jay's Southland Tow Service. Mac?
Baseball food. Hot dogs. Nachos. Soft pretzels.
Soft pretzel start.
I knew
soft
that.
Soft pretzel bench. Cutting nachos. No, pretzel, hot dog, nachos.
Nachos, pretzel, hot dog. Get that meat tube out of here, even though I do love a glizzy.
Yeah, but you get on the a golf good course. Hot dog, though, man.
Yeah,
like, a good hot dog's tough to beat.
Yeah, and the only ones that are good are on a hot dog, or on a golf course at the turn, or before you leave, or when your buddy Mike gets a hole-in-one and the clubhouse says, we don't really have plaques, but we'll give you a free hot dog. I said, okay.
How long has that been sitting on the roller, right?
Doesn't matter.
Costco hot dogs are legitimate.
They are, and they're only $1.75 or $1.50.
So
yeah.
So good.
But no, I start nachos just because I love that soggy chip with the jalapeno on it. I bench the pretzel with cheese, and I cut the hot dog.
The nachos out at the K, though, pretty much suck.
I mean, you get
a bag of chips and a can of cheese.
Oh, yeah, nowadays. Yeah, now they make you, it's like deconstructive.
Yeah, like no, you got to make that.
And the jalapenos come like in a bag.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's,
I think I'd still
do that at home.
Though. I think I'd still take it first. Still starting that.
I do love me some of that. Man, Salvador Perez has a big tongue.
That's the new thing now. Everybody's going to show their tongue at jazz.
Can we do that at the bar, Mac?
Let's show our tongue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that scene from Scarface? He's like, what are you doing, man? You got a lizard? That's how you get the that's how you get the ladies, Tony. Anyways.
Head coaches?
Sure.
What do you think? KOC, LaFleur, Sean McVay?
I'm starting Sean McVay. He's a Super Bowl champion. I'm benching Kevin O'Connell, and I'm cutting LaFleur.
I'm starting Kevin O'Connell because of the resurgence he's given Sam Darnold, and he's 5-0. Yes, you have to start that guy. I'm benching LaFleur, Peter's brother, dip, dive, duck, dodge, and dip, dodge. I don't know. And then McVay's getting cut, man. Sorry.
Whew. This is a tough one.
It is.
I'm living in the now, though. I'm living in the now. No, I'm not living in 2019, 2020.
I think we're all going to have different answers here because I'm going to start Matt LaFleur. I'm going to bench Sean McVay, and I will cut really hard. I'm going to cut KOC.
Why?
Because he respects you, and he doesn't want your wife looking at other men.
No, I don't care. It's good for the relationship, right?
Well, I started Matt LaFleur, who Jen obviously
too short, she says now. So
he's 5'10", I think. I mean,
I looked at Bob's.
When you're dating or you're married to a 5'11 and 3/4 striking gentleman like myself, 5'10 is very short.
Exactly.
Wearing bird dogs with no draws.
That's right.
Bird dog Bob there for you. I have a good start bench cut because I am a member of this list. Which guy are you starting, benching, and cutting? Golf guy, slow pitch softball guy, or hunter guy?
I mean, I'm going to start hunter guy just out of default because slow pitch softball guy and golf guy drive me to drink.
Sorry.
I don't care about your golf game.
I know. Yeah.
I don't care about your fantasy team. I don't care about your bets. And I clearly don't care about your softball conquering.
Do you want to know what my handicap is?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. Fantasy football guy is a thing, too. 9-10, 96-5.
I mean, I could give you my distance of every club if you like. Okay.
Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think Hunter guy.
Yeah.
Just start Hunter guy.
Like, I like Hunter guy because.
Talk to you about it?
No, they really don't.
No.
Now, Hunter guy, really, unless, like, you're having a conversation
exactly.
And it comes up. Golf guy walks into a bar and goes, dive, dude. Got 200 today. Yeah, we don't care, man. Like, we're sitting here trying to have a couple of beers, and, you know, you walked in your gray slacks that are kind of like, you know, that material. I don't know what it's like, but it's like not cotton. It's elastic. You can bend in the waist a little bit more. Got your tea behind your ear and one in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, man, I just went out there today. I was 2 under. And that third hole, you know where a dog's like, nobody cares.
Is my golf tee still behind you?
It is.
Okay. That fell out of my hat when I brought it in here after a round of golf at Adams Point. Gotta love that.
Get your ball marker on your brim. The hat that says, you know, beavers across it.
Mm-hmm. I have a golf hat on right now from the Masters. I feel very attacked.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, man. I that dog leg right there on hole 3 down at Shoal Creek. Oh, man, that's a killer.
Keep roasting me. Exactly. I feel all this coming out
so
right
personal.
Now. I'm cutting softball guy.
Because he always wears number 69, too.
No, that softball guy I like. The softball guy I don't like is the guy that wears the eye black professional baseball pants who's mid-30s that like still thinks he's playing Major League Baseball.
Yes. Oh, the guy who goes full uniform.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's embarrassing.
I saw a video of one of those guys, like, definitely in his mid-30s. It was like, bro, why are you laughing? Like, having a post-game meeting about, like, I'm sick and tired of this. We're not getting the runs. Dude, why are you laughing? It's like, dude, no one cares. Shut up.
That's why people don't want to play with you, man.
You guys don't work in construction. All these dudes talk about is hunting. What a season it is. What is coming up? Their time in the blind. The cold weather, so annoying.
But hunting is such a brief season, too, right?
I love Hunter Guy because I can't do it because I've got too much ADD and I'm too loud. I feel like I'd be like, it's over here. Like, dude, shut up.
Boy, you should see these deer on Indian Creek Trail when I'm out there running with no shirt on.
No doubt.
Like, I mean, they're right there. And I'm like, God, the deer population, we've done a terrible job in this country. We've cut down all the trees. They have nowhere to go. Like, I truly feel bad for these deer. And then I had venison one time. It wasn't bad.
I feel bad for the deer until they cause car wrecks going 70 miles an hour.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's bad because we continue to cut down trees to build apartments.
Yeah.
Or another strip mall.
Somebody says, which guy do you want to cut? Dart guy, bowling guy, billiards guy.
Dart guy. Dart guy.
I got a dartboard in my garage. Okay, I'll play anytime.
But that's fine. We all have, like, the dartboard, right? Do you bring your own darts to a bar?
No, but okay. I mean, my buddies that play in dart leagues do.
That's different. Okay. That's a league. You're going out for cocktails on a Tuesday to, like, double nickel out in Olathe. You're packing your own darts, and I'm not talking cigarettes.
That's right.
Or the guy who brings his own pool cue to a bar. It's a roadhouse, man.
Guy that brings his own clothes roadhouse. To Topgolf. Guilty.
Ooh, come on.
I know. I'm sorry. What's your talent?
You bring your own putter to mini golf, too?
That's cringe.
No.
That really is,
that
man.
That was cringe.
That's bad. No, you're rolling in the Topgolf. Got the backpack bag. Here I am. I'm a Topgolf and... got my own cut. Ooh, the wind and you're throwing grass.
Bob hates golf because he can't hit a golf ball.
I think it's a colossal waste of time. But no, it's just truth to that, too. Yep. I mean, I couldn't get out of the baseball swing and didn't like it. And like, I'm not wasting my time. I'm going to be my kids and my wife.
Speaking of wasting
especially
their time.
Especially on Tuesdays.
Jazz Chisholm's wasting his time playing baseball the rest of the series because after that comedy made that we'll dive into on the other side, it might just be the potion that wakes the sleeping giant here in Kansas City. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I think we might have found a new type of start bench cut that we can do every single week. It is the guy start bench cut.
Oh, God.
Mac
yes.
and I already have one for next week that right. we're not going to tell you.
Oh, why?
Secrets.
All right.
You'll like it.
Yeah.
Forget it for next week.
No, I don't remember. I don't forget long term. I forget short term.
What?
Thanks, Missouri.
Hey.
Hey-oh. Speaking of short term.
Go ahead.
Robert Sala.
And God.
Gone.
See ya.
Yeah, good morning. Football's in a rerun.
I was going to say, it has to be, man. Like,
there used to be an afternoon host in this town on the AM side who would record things. And, so anyway, here we sit. Robert Sala fired this morning by the Jets. Nobody should be shocked by this, right? He's 20-32. The real question for me is going to be who is the interim coach? Because if you go with Nate Hackett, oh, my God.
Nah, they're going to give Aaron Rodgers a job.
You think he's going to retire from playing, or is he going to be playing?
No, he's going to be the first ever coach quarterback.
I do like that.
Of the team.
Yeah, I do like that.
You've got a conspiracy theory. That's my conspiracy theory.
Here's my conspiracy theory on this. The Jets did all of this to take all the pressure off of Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Because in New York today, they probably started Aaron Judge sucks, Aaron Judge sucks, Aaron Judge sucks. I promise you this. The Yankees will not be mentioned again in New York today. It is all about the Jets.
That's right.
And what a joke that they really are as a franchise. Again, I keep going back to this today because I just really am enamored with Andy Reid. The Andy Reid appreciation segment that I just think needs to happen almost daily. Mm-hmm. Now, we have Andy Reid and you had Robert Saleh. Like, it's just, this is why I've said for over a decade now, I could be a coach in the NFL. You telling me I couldn't do what Robert Saleh just did in New York and walk away with millions of dollars? Like, I guess he was sideways with Aaron Rodgers, right? It sure seemed like it. They didn't want to hug and all this other stuff and whatnot. And here we are now, what, 5 games in? They're 2-3. And they fired Robert Saleh.
And he's over there like, give me the play,
So who's going to be the interim? And I honestly, like, I
it's
feel like...
It's been announced, the interim.
Who?
It'll be the DC, which makes sense.
The
It'll DC. Be Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah. They'll promote the universe? That guy. But you know what? Their defense has not been that good. You know, they're riding on, like, it's 2022. They still think it's Sauce Gardner from his rookie year. And like... Boy, what a mess. What a glorious, glorious mess. And every time something like this happens, I look at our team and I go, Andy's got this. We're fine.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that we worry about, like, do you think Sky Moore will ever get a catch? The Jets are firing their coach in week 5 of the NFL season when all they needed was Aaron Rodgers to come back healthy and they were going to dominate the world. And here they sit at 2-3.
Are you surprised he's the first one to go?
No, not at all.
I'm surprised he's gone this early.
I am surprised it's now. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not surprised he's gone this early.
Well, we talked about a diva the other day and comparing him to Russell Wilson, another diva. Aaron Rodgers had something to do with this, and there's no doubt he was making
noise. Yeah.
And I think he was probably putting their feet to the fire and making some noise. And they're like, okay, we got to do this now. So I think that was the pressure. That's where that was coming from.
But what do you do? Like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, do you sit next to the Johnson & Johnson guy on the plane on the ride home from London and say, we need to fire this guy? Like, Aaron Rodgers is a jackass. He's a douche. He's a narcissistic. And there's just so many words to use to describe Aaron Rodgers, right? None of those were bad. I mean, they're all true.
Yeah. And I thought you were getting ready to go down the cuss line.
No. I wasn't. Okay. I'm just thinking out loud as the story is breaking in front of us. And we're watching Adam Schefter in a car right now.
He's in the back seat.
Yeah.
Driving Miss Daisy.
He's being chauffeured around, which is really embarrassing.
Is Morgan Freeman driving?
I mean, who's driving Schefter? Who's got that job?
Whoever it is, I hope they have the glass shield that kills the volume in the back. Yeah. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, right.
What is there to know about? Like, why do you need Schefter here? I'm being dead serious. Like, I know he's the NFL insider and all that, but like, Robert Saleh's fired.
Because you're not
Adam,
capable of talking about yourself. I guess. I don't know. Like, give us more. Well, yes, he's still fired. What was the question? Oh, Aaron Rodgers. So does he go into the office? Like, I if I was the owner of the Jets, I'd look at Aaron Rodgers and go, quite frankly, sir, what the hell have you done in these last 2 years?
Right.
You're sitting here blaming this coach, and maybe he does deserve to be blamed. They're 20-32. Okay. Under this guy, 20-32. But if I was the owner, I'd look at Aaron Rodgers and go, like, there's lemon laws in this country when you buy a car, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it breaks, like, within 2 days, you get to take it back. Those are lemon laws. Aaron Rodgers is a lemon. The Jets bought a bad product, a broken-down jalopy. He's an Edsel. And this guy, I feel bad for Robert Saleh in this situation because Robert Saleh did what all of us would do. Oh, we got a chance to get Aaron Rodgers. Let's go get Aaron Rodgers. And fine, if I'm going to coexist with this guy, it's got to kind of be his way. He's got the street cred, allegedly. We've all would do what Robert Saleh did, sell your soul for this. But I just feel bad for Robert Saleh because Aaron Rodgers is not going to have any culpability when he's on McAfee later today and say, I played a role in this as well. Because you did, Aaron. You suck. And you're a narcissist. And narcissists don't know they suck.
No. Or at least they don't think they do.
He's the LeBron James of the NFL minus like 7 title appearances, all the MVPs, and every accolade ever.
But LeBron has had success.
That's what I'm saying.
Aaron Rodgers is like the NFL's version of Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Okay.
big games. What is Aaron? What is he under 500 now in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken? And he may never get another playoff game again. All of a sudden, moving this defensive coordinator, head coach, is going to change things.
Who's next is my question.
I mean, it could be Cincinnati.
Nah.
I think that's more of like a Sean McDermott last year. Like where it's like, hey, man, you're done screwing up. Like there's no more of that.
So who do you think it is then?
It's Peterson. I think it's Doug.
You know, had they not won this past weekend, there may have been a race to see who fires who first, right?
I mean, that should tell you right there. Like, what do they say? Like, teams don't want to do anything that, like, jeopardizes, like, the faith of the fandom. Like, that maybe they're saying the season's over.
Yeah.
I don't think a coach firing says that. But
I think that excites the Jet fans.
I was going to say, I think that does the opposite. I think now Jets fans and Fireman Fred are all going to be there ready for their new shot. And you know the Jets players are going to rally around this.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback. He's their leader. Like him or not, the players play for him. They like him. And now he's going to be like, all right, guys. Now we know what to do.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. This guy was the defensive head coach, right? He had nothing to do with the offense.
No.
How is that going to make the offense all of a sudden better? You think he's over there saying, oh, don't call these plays? And if he's doing that, he deserved to be fired. You stay out of the way unless you're Andy Reid.
Right.
You know, but he's a defensive head coach. How is it going to get better from an offensive standpoint? Aaron Rodgers, through 5 weeks, has scored 93 points, the same amount that Zach Wilson scored through 5 weeks last year.
Yeah.
How's that on the defensive-minded head coach? Like, sometimes you just got to realize players have a shelf life. Aaron Rodgers is long expired.
Right. I mean, like, I don't know. It's tough because, I mean, you look at what Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh's relationship was, right? We all know it was not loved. It was not liked. Neither one of them liked each other, which can cause a storm cloud upon the entire team, whether he's defensive or offensive. And apparently he was too offensive to Aaron Rodgers, and now he has seen his way out. And I think that's probably one of those things where, you know, we've talked to guys who have been fired, and they've told us, like, you know what, honestly, I love it now. I don't have to worry about that sort of stuff anymore. And maybe this is one of those things that, like, you know, sometimes people fake it to make it in relationships, right? Oh, I really love, do you love that person or do you not love that? Because if you don't, you need to end it now. Don't try to force it. This was clearly forced from the weird hug on that Monday night game or whatever that was.
He pushed the man away
because he didn't know. And like, you kind of always knew, like in the offseason, like Aaron Rodgers in his comments. And we saw this coming. And I think this is also ownership telling Aaron Rodgers as well. Hey, man, we did you your favor. You did not want this guy here. You guys did not get along. He didn't let you run the offense that you're trying to run, even though he's a defensive minded guy. Now you have zero excuses.
Now you have zero excuses, so you take the excuses away. Okay, I can get on board with that.
And they think this is an addition by subtraction.
But are they now going to go get Devontae Adams too?
Well, now it's Aaron Rodgers' team, so they do. It's all on him.
Yeah.
And if he does, they better do something with it.
I will say this. Aaron Rodgers' legacy is on the line with this, man. Aaron Rodgers' legacy is on the line.
Is it?
Yeah. Because I think he is one of the great underachievers in sports. And I think the Green Bay Packers from about 1992 up until Aaron Rodgers left that organization is one of the most underachieving organizations in all of sports. You had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and you won one Super Bowl with each of them. And that's it. That's it. Joe Flacco has as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think his legacy is over. I mean, he's what one?
Brad Johnson has as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers.
Keep going.
Trent Dilfer has as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Jeff Hostetler has as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers.
So Drew Brees?
Drew Brees has as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
I thought they underachieved too, as we're seeing right now. Bo Nix has taken over that show in Denver. He just told Sean Payton to sit down.
I don't think Rodgers, like, let's say it goes the best case. Let's say he wins a Super Bowl this year. Never going to happen. Let's say he doesn't. Okay. It wouldn't up his ranking in the all-time list that much. He'd move up. He's what, the seventh or sixth best quarterback of all time, maybe the eighth or ninth. What is he going to move up one spot? And if it goes bad this year, which it already has, he's not moving down, and he's a top 10 quarterback of all time.
Based on
the numbers, based on the talent. I think he's the second most talented quarterback to ever enter the National Football League behind Patrick LeVon.
But why doesn't he win championships? Why does he crumble in the postseason? Why is he under 500? Like, I can't put him in that same category, man. Like, I get it. The regular season's great. Ask Aaron Judge. What do you do when it matters most? Nobody remembers wild card teams.
12-10 in the playoffs.
I remember the 2014 wild card team.
You know, nobody remembers that. You know, you got to go out there and you got to perform in the postseason, especially when you're a quarterback.
Around 6,000 yards in the playoffs, 45 touchdowns, 13 picks.
And what's his overall record?
12-10?
12-10. Mm. Yeah.
Not great. What, he has four MVPs? Is that what he has? He has like
I believe so. Yeah.
The quarterback award. Yeah.
A regular season award, you know?
No,
like,
I get it.
Like, to me, when the moment's big, Aaron Rodgers is small.
Mm. Well, to me, it's like Manning has two Super Bowls, but really, like, Manning has one. Like, he was god-awful. He threw 20 picks in that second season.
Right.
Like, and Manning, I mean, he's the third best quarterback of all time, fourth best quarterback of all time. So, I mean, it's, you can't just look at the chips, but I get that's what we do.
But that's what we, do, right? Like, it we look at whatever we want to look at that's going to make our argument better for that individual, right?
Yeah, of course,
right?
Of course.
No, matter what it is, right? Let's call it what it is. Like, you know, people don't want to put Eli Manning in that great category. I'll go, he's got two Super Bowl championships. He's got twice as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers. How many Super Bowls has Aaron Rodgers been to?
Who cares?
Two, right?
And now Gleyber Torres, a right-handed batter, digs in against Ursay. In comes the pitch. First pitch, fastball, ground ball, whip. He's going to go to first. Out at first. Game over. Royals win it. And get the series even.
We can go to New York and talk about Robert Saleh. We're in Kansas City celebrating a team that beat the New York Yankees last night, 4-2. The Royals come back to Kansas City on Wednesday night. The town will be rocking. The crowd will be blue. And I cannot wait to see all of you out there. Should be a great time. Bob, you'll be shirtless by the seventh inning. You'll be cheering on mustard in the hot dog race.
Mm-hmm.
And
relish.
I do love that too. But last night was important for this team, right? Last night was huge for the Kansas City Royals because the fact you go down 0-2, your backs are definitely against the wall. The Yankees spit in your face. You wiped it off and spit back. And that's the type of tenacity and the courageousness I want to see from the Royals.
Yeah, you know, you get back home now. You have an opportunity to end this thing without going back to New York. I personally think it's going to go a game five because the Yankees are money and they're going to try to milk this thing for as long as they possibly can at the Major League Baseball headquarters. So I do think it's going to go a game five. But you have an opportunity to take care of business. Go out there and pound the Yankees into oblivion. You got Seth Lugo going tomorrow night, right? That's a big deal. He is a Cy Young type of pitcher. That is a game you should go out there and win. Clarke Schmidt is pitching for the Yankees. I don't know who that is. So you go out there and you got an opportunity with arguably your ace or ace 1A, 1B and Reagans and Lugo going tomorrow night. You get that game, then you have an opportunity going in Thursday to clinch this thing and wrap this thing up, you know, with Michael Wacha potentially on the mound for the Royals. So everything's in your favor right now. You're a better team than the Yankees. I'm tired of hearing that the Yankees are the better team. The Yankees are the better team. If the Yankees are the better team, then they're winning games and, and they're not, you know, having two on with nobody out in the first inning and not driving those guys in. They're not the better team. And this is what we said going into this series. I said, I love our matchup with the Yankees. I think the Royals are going to win this thing. Oh, how could you say? Because the Yankees are a myth. The Yankees are on paper. The Royals are real. They're players. They go out there and they earn this thing. They don't go out there and just say, well, I'm putting on the pinstripe, so I should win this series. No, they're going out there and they're winning this series. The Yankees have taken this thing for granted, and they're just not a very tough team. And the Royals are a much tougher team than the Yankees. That's why they're going to win this series.
No doubt about it. They're also going to win this series because certain people in certain sports don't know how to just keep their mouth shut and just move on.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
Not only that, but never in my life did I think a town would turn to the fandom of Joe Buck and hate Bob Costas.
Hit the short. Whip. Gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit. Couldn't beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
Yes, they can. Bob Costas.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You're better than that. You're better than that. You're not Vince Scully. You're not Denny Matthews. And you just had an opportunity right there to kind of not let everybody know that you're rooting for the Yankees, Mr. Syracuse grad.
Right.
Like, just do your job the right way.
See, the thing is, people think Joe Buck was rooting against the Royals with Madison Bumgarner on the mound. Joe Buck was celebrating the Madison Bumgarner domination, which it was, right?
Yeah.
Bob Costas is clearly pissed that Giancarlo Stanton grounded into a double. Listen to the way that his voice changes.
Oh, yeah.
Hit to short. Witt gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit.
It's like
couldn't beat it out of the other end.
Whose
turns into a double
then?
Play.
Yeah, it's
is it the pitcher's fault?
I don't know what that even means, right? Here's the thing. Bob Costas is like a kid on Christmas morning who opens the first package and it's socks. And then it's underwear.
Love socks. Love it.
As an adult, it's great stuff, right? You give socks every year. It's a great gift as an adult. You're a kid. You don't want socks. You want toys. Bob Costas sounded like a kid who just opened socks and underwear on Christmas morning. Like so upset that Stanton grounded into that double play. So upset that the Yankees, I don't want to say are on the brink of elimination, but I feel like they're on the brink of elimination right now. And Bob Costas is just so depressed that this may be the first time in his broadcasting career that the Yankees lose a series when he's behind the mic. The Yankees are 7-0 in series with Bob Costas calling them in the playoffs. They're going to be 7-1, and Bob Costas' perfect record is going by way of the wayside. And I gave Bob the benefit of the doubt. A lot of hate for Bob leading into this series. And then I heard that call, and I'm just like, could you make it any more obvious that you're rooting for the Yankees? Could you make it any more obvious in that cut? God.
I mean, I'll tell you this. Nothing that they do beyond this season will get me more fired up for the Royals, right? I mean, winning a World Series, obviously.
Right.
But, everything that I've wanted, the Royals have given, right? Like, I wanted this team to be competitive all the way up to training camp. Did that times 1,000. I wanted this Yankee-Royal rivalry to come back.
Oh, it's back.
And now I want the Cleveland Guardians. I don't want anything to do with Detroit,
You don't
man.
Want to see Scooble three times.
And what'd you call him?
Madison Bumgarner.
I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with Detroit. I want Cleveland. That's where it started. That's who they were going for. And the Yankees are doing exactly what I wanted. Rodon goes out there last night, and he's doing the tongue salute, whatever he's doing.
They always say in sports, act like you've been there, right?
Well, Rodon hadn't been there, apparently. And my stepdad, bless his heart, nicest guy in the world, bigger football guy than baseball guy. His mom, diehard baseball fan, loved the Royals, favorite player of all time, Freddie Patak. Shout out Peggy, but RIP. But the one thing he texted me last night, and I'll never get over this. He goes, all right, I'm in. And I said, what's going on? He goes, I hate the Yankees again. It brings me back to my kid days. I was like, this is exactly what I wanted. It took a fandom from then and a fandom from now and all in between. And when you see these people do that, it's like, this is what you want. You want this hatred. You want this fire. And then when the flame is as hot as it was for the Yankees, adding all that just to get, shut down, Sal Perez fires back with his Gene Simmons tongue. Chisholm drops that line of they got lucky.
They got lucky.
And now you get to come to Kansas City. The underdogs, the people that everyone forgot about, the small market team, the analytical manager named Matt Quatrero that's going to kick your ass with a cheese blanket and be on the show tomorrow at 9. Boy, good luck. Good luck. I'm not going to say you're going to get lucky because that ain't me, man. I'll play the Daft Punk song all day.
Yeah, but
I ain't going to say you got lucky. Just welcome to the Blue Sea.
If there's been any luck, it's been MLB not overturning the call on Jazz Chisholm at second base in game one. That's been the only luck in this series. I think they've been two really good baseball games.
Sure.
And they've taken longer than normal this year. They've been three and a half hour ball games. Hasn't felt like it. You've been on the edge of your seat for every pitch. But to say that luck is involved is number one, it's an insult to the Royals. And number two, it's an insult to the game because there was zero luck involved in that game last night. It was just a well-played baseball game. And the Royals came up in clutch situations where your team did not. That's not luck. That's just being better.
Yeah. One more time.
Hit to short. Witt gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault.
Whose fault is it?
A near base hit. Couldn't beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, I don't feel like anybody feels any different, We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Want to be baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time.
Want to be
love and the fun.
You want to see all of the excitement? This is the place, and we're the one. You want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see? Come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball.
Here's the pitch. Salvi drills it high in the air, deep left field. No doubt about it. It's a home run. A game-tying blast from the Royals captain. A 402-foot home run for Salvador Perez. He rounds third and pounds his chest, and he ties the game at one in the top of the fourth inning.
There you go, 816. Can you play the audio of the fourth inning home run and RBI base hits, please?
There it is.
There you go. Right on cue. It's like you're reading our rundown.
Yeah.
Salvador Perez absolutely demolished that baseball, and I thought they finally got the camera covered right with the umpire's cam, because when he hit that, I mean, that baseball went from a grapefruit to a pea in a matter of like a second.
I don't like the umpire cam, and they had it on. I'm like, show me the right view, and then he hits that home run. You're like, oh, that's a shot.
You're
right,
like, but
there.
Only if it's that.
I mean, it was right? It was, but like, it gives me seasick. Like, I get motion sickness very easily, you know. And I'm like, whoa.
So did Rodon as soon as he hit that ball.
Yeah, I mean, Rodon. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody take a game like they had in the first two innings and then do a complete 180 and fall flat on their face like Rodon. Like Rodon's first two innings, and hopefully someday you'll get this reference better than I can explain it to you. Like right before it's time for bed, kids have that final, like, you know, bizarre burst. Moment of energy, right? And then they collapse and they pass out. That was Rodon last night. He had that burst of energy. He was so good and so wound up in those first two innings and then fell off the mound. And that was it. And he was never able to recover. And the Yankees were never able to recover from that. I mean, nice. It's baseball at its finest. It's postseason baseball. It's what happens in these playoff games. If you miss opportunities, you miss the chance to win. And the Yankees missed that opportunity in the first inning, and it was over. It was done.
That's twice now. The Yankees have had opportunities in the first and didn't capitalize.
And I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
You got lucky in game one that the first inning didn't come back bite you in the ass, Jazz.
Let them ride that one.
I mean, what were you thinking last night? First two batters get on with a walk. You're not feeling real good, right? And then you realize Judge is up. You're like, okay, that's an out. And then the rest of the lineup, you think maybe they're going to do something. And Reagans, man, you got to give that kid a lot of credit because he walks the first two batters. Stanton's talking, you know, smack. Mm. The Yankee Stadium crowd's going berserk. Rodon just made your first three batters look like Aaron Judge times three. And you got two guys on and nobody out in the first inning at Yankee Stadium, and you buckle down like you did. Mm. Damn, Cole Reagans was good last night.
Salvador Perez's home run, obviously, I think got everybody like hard and ready.
Yeah.
This was the moment where I was there.
Here's the pitch.
Whoa, there!
It's a changeup just a little bit low, apparently. That pitch looked like it was knee high and good enough. But instead, it's 2-2. So Reagans readies again. He fires. Soto waves and misses at a slider. Strike three. Well, Reagans didn't get the call on the previous pitch, but he gets the swing on that one. Five strikeouts for Cole Reagans, and there's one out in the bottom of the third.
Because if you remember that situation, and you know who Juan Soto is, who plays the heel very well.
Oh, he does. Does a nice job.
Better than most. Yeah. Reagan struck him out, and I mean two cold eyes into the soul of Juan Soto.
Wow, look at what Juan Soto did his first at bat,
exactly,
right?
That's what he does.
Oh, you want to play games, Juan? Fine.
Yeah, come with the Texas kid, buddy. That's Cole Reagans, man.
Like, Cole Reagans is just cold-blooded.
I mean, he is, man.
Like, I've never seen an emotion out of him at all. I mean, he did have a little bit last night, but like...
And in that wild card round.
Just, like, stoic.
He's awesome.
Stoic.
That's what you want in your ace. You want that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You want the guy that's got, you know, stone cold piss water running through his veins.
He only pitched four innings. Let's get him back out there tomorrow.
Well, he threw a lot of pitches, too.
Did,
but the thing that's crazy about that was... Yeah, there was. That's what's so great about this time of year with baseball, especially when it's the Yankees, because I think everybody can enjoy watching the Yankees lose outside of New York and Bob Costas. And when you see guys that you may never have heard of outside of the Kansas City market, like a Cole Reagans or maybe even like a Garrett Hampson, and people in Kansas City probably don't even really know either who Garrett Hampson is until now. But
if Garrett Hampson was in this room right now, none of us would know who he was. We'd be like, how you doing, sir? Can you get out of the way?
Yeah, like if he walked into Starbucks and they're like, what's the name? Like Garrett Hampson. They'd be like, Garrett Hampson?
Frank.
I'd be like, wait a minute. Which I forget what Ned's name
Frank.
Is. Oh, is that what? Yeah, that's right. And I think the thing that's great about this, and this is why I think I'm always baseball one, football two, is that, yes, baseball season is long, boring. There's not a lot of emotion. As soon as playoff baseball starts, I mean, look at every series right now. Right.
They're Mets, all 1-1. First time ever that series are all 1-1.
Mets Phillies, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, God.
Who's got the more heartbreaking fan base, right? Or like when it comes to emotion, right? Phillies fans, Mets fans. You look at what Scooble did yesterday in Cleveland, striking all those guys out and then being like, come on, where you at? I can't hear you.
Right.
And then you see Carlos Rodon do that to the Royals and the Royals retaliate.
Retaliated.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's all this sort of like, let's get it going. We're in this moment. You're seeing uncharacteristic things happen to people that you would never see. Like Salvador Perez, I've never seen his tongue in disgust. Like I've seen him, like, you know, chewing bubble gum and stuff like that, but not like, hey, we remember this. And then you remember Kendrys Morales when he hit that home run against Houston.
That's
the
right.
Slash on the net. You never saw Kendrys Morales show emotion.
But it's baseball playoffs.
And I love it.
It's just different. And like baseball playoffs, I say this now because we're in the moment, and it may be in the moment, but it's the best. It really is. When you have a team in it, when your team's not in when your team's not in it, it doesn't register. You don't pay attention to it. But when your team's in it, you're paying attention to all the other series that are going on, and they're all really compelling in their own way, right? They're all tied 1-1. Home field advantage is totally irrelevant in baseball. In fact, I would rather be the visiting team because you get that first opportunity to score. And when you score a run and take a lead in the postseason, immediately turns up the pressure on the opposition. So I do think the visiting teams do have more an advantage in the postseason. Yeah, you get your last licks at home, but man, if you're behind early, then the pressure ramps up and you just never recover. It becomes, you know, kind of this snowball effect that we're seeing for a lot of these teams right now. But the Dodger-Padre series has become compelling now too, because those are two cities that hate each other. I mean, you saw what happened the other night, right? Now this thing shifts back to San Diego today.
And that's what's great, is that it's always someone else that starts it and then someone else tries to finish it. Shohei Ohtani, do we really see a lot of emotion from him?
No.
He hit that home run in game one and threw the bat.
Oh, God, yes.
And then Jurickson Profar makes that catch, and the fireworks go off. Everybody in the stadium is, like, freaking out. And then all of a sudden, he's like, guess what? And it's like, that's great.
That was,
it's amazing.
He deked everybody, didn't he?
From the PA to the crowd to the guy that had a front row seat that knew he didn't catch it, but the actual player hit it. And the fireworks go off. Then he's like, oh, by the way.
And then the dude's round and said,
Mookie Betts. Yeah.
Oh, what a catch.
I mean, it's great. And that's playoff baseball. You just have to wait the entire time to get it. It's like Masters Sunday.
Yeah.
You have to play three rounds just to get to the event.
You have the regular season. Like, if that's a catch in the regular season, he's probably showboating and having a good time, right?
Right.
No, he did not do that. He totally deked everybody out, and it was unbelievable. What a great catch. And then that fight started. Did you see how that fight started, where they started throwing stuff at
the bullpen, too?
Right? So Profar bring a ball, gave it to a Dodger fan, just handed him a baseball, and the guy threw it back, and that's what started the fight. They said Yerkes and Profar threw the ball into the stands. He handed it to the guy. So it's on out there. Mets and Phillies today. We got ourselves a nice little slate. Take a deep breath.
That's right.
And we'll get back at it tomorrow.
We know Bob's going to get lucky tonight because it's Tuesday. All can go do nice things for somebody and make sure their day goes lucky, as you can go do nice things. Never know. Change their day, week, month, or year. Shout out to Blair for your day yesterday at the Arrowhead parking lot. Stay nice, stay kind, stay safe. Kansas City, we love you. Cody and Gold coming up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Thanks again.